Bless the Lord. Well, we are glad to have each one of you here this morning. I just encourage you to make yourself feel at home. And we're going to get into the scripture this morning that the Lord has laid upon my heart. We are glad to have each one of you. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. I had several thoughts rolling around in my mind this past week, praying and asking the Lord what he would have me to speak this morning. And I had two different thoughts, and I'm like, okay, I think that's it. Thursday, I'm like, well, maybe not. Okay, that's it. Well, maybe not. Finally, on Saturday, I just felt the Lord impressing my heart to go into this message or this route, and I want to minister this morning on a subject that I've titled, Stepping into the Perfect Will of God. Stepping into the Perfect Will of God. So obviously, we are stepping into a brand new year. 2018. I can barely believe it. When I was a younger man, the older folks used to say, the older you get, the faster it goes. I told my wife the other day, I must be getting really old because it went really quick. I can't believe how quickly 2017 went by. But as I began to pray and ask the Lord what he would have me to speak, I couldn't help but think that we are in a brand new year, and that brand new year brings with it a great amount of potential and a great amount of possibilities. How many of you do not want to remain stuck where you were in 2017? Right? So 2018 holds a great deal of potential and a great deal of possibility. No doubt that we will experience some challenges along the way. No doubt that we will experience some setbacks along the way. But stop and think about it for just a moment. And think about the possibilities that 2018 could bring into our life. And I believe that I speak for everybody. I know I speak for myself when I say that we all desire to have something better and something greater, something more fulfilling in our lives, both in the natural realm and in the realm of the spirit. We all have aspirations of a greater spiritual walk with God. If you don't, you should. Can you say amen? We all have aspirations of greater financial stability. We have aspirations for our marriage and for our job enhancement and for personal growth and just about every other area of our life, right? We all desire to step into a brighter future and step into the perfect will of God for our lives. But I want you to understand something this morning, that God indeed does have a perfect will for our lives. But listen to me. If we are going to step into it, we must do the stepping. Hello? God does indeed have a perfect will for our life. But if we are ever going to step into the perfect will of God, then we are going to be the one that does the stepping. Stepping into the perfect will of God this morning. That's the title of my message. We're going to read some scripture here in just a few moments. Genesis chapter 12. You see it on the screen. We're going to read those verses in just a few moments. But this morning, I would like for you to use your imagination for just a moment. And I want you to imagine that you receive a phone call from Bill Gates. And the conversation goes something like this. Excuse me for just a moment. Hello, this is Gary. Bill Gates. You mean the Bill Gates, the Microsoft Bill Gates, for real? Yes, sir, you assure me you are indeed the real Bill Gates and you have an offer to make me. Well, what kind of offer did you have in mind? You want me to be your business partner? All I have to do is go where you need me to go and do what you need me to do. Okay, you have my attention. But where would you send me and what exactly would you have me to be doing? You can't tell me right now. I just have to trust you. You mean you want me to trust you to do that you will do what you say that you will do? Is that what you're saying? Okay, well, let me get this straight. See if I got this. You say you want me to be your business partner and you will provide everything that I will ever need. I like that. And everybody will know that you and I are the closest of friends. And you're going to provide everything that I... In fact, you say that everybody that helps me, you are going to help them. And everybody that harms me is going to have to answer to you. Mm-hmm. And what I will be doing is not only going to change my life, but it is going to change the things of the world. I'm all about that. Yes, sir. You'll be in touch. Uh-huh. Well, thanks for calling, and be sure and hang on to my number, okay? That was Bill Gates. Well, now we have a decision to make. What do we do about a phone call like that? What would you do? Would you be willing to just take off on a promise that would have you living on a need-to-know kind of basis? Would you just simply take the job, go wherever he wanted you to go, do whatever he wanted you to do, at just on a need-to-know kind of basis? Well, let's change it up just a little bit. Keep your imagination hat on. What if the phone didn't ring and you didn't talk to Bill? But instead you felt this strange impression somewhere in the recesses of your heart. Somewhere down deep in your spirit, you heard a voice in your heart or in your head, and that voice was telling you the same kind of thing. I want to be a partner with you. I want you to come and follow me. I have a plan for your life. I have something that I need you to do. I have some place where you need to be. I can't tell you everywhere you're going. I can't tell you everything you're going to experience along the way. But if you just trust me, I have your best interest at heart. What if somewhere deep down in your spirit you felt this tugging, this gnawing on your spirit that you just couldn't shake? and you heard a voice speaking into your life, and you were positive that you hadn't been eating strange mushrooms. You were sure that you hadn't got a hold of any bad sushi. Hello? I have to tell you, for me, all sushi is bad. They're like, let's go eat raw fish. Oh, joy. Yes, count me in. Wrapped in seaweed, even. Yeah. Now my son, Hoss, he loves sushi, and I just love to give him a bad time about it. So stop and think about that. What would you do if you felt this speaking into your spirit, speaking into your heart, telling you to make some kind of radical change? Some kind of radical change in your life. This is exactly what happened to the man that we call the father of faith. It's exactly what happened to the man that we are about to read about in our text. His name was Abram. God would later change his name to Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means the father of many nations. And I don't know what Abraham thought he was listening to, because he was neither a father or a father of nations. He didn't even have any children. And yet he hears this voice speaking to him. Now, if you have your Bible open, let's read it. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And not only that, Abraham, but he says, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. Would you bow your heads for a moment now and let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am so delighted this morning to be able to gather in your house. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. We thank you for your eternal word that is forever settled in heaven. We thank you this morning, Lord, for these that have gathered here in your name. And I would ask this morning that you would touch me and help me this morning to deliver what you have placed upon my heart. Of my own self, in my own ability, I can do nothing. But if you will anoint me and if you will bless me to be a blessing, put your thoughts in my mind, your word in my mouth, exalt and glorify Jesus and edify your church this morning. And I ask it all in the mighty and glorious name of the Lord. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. What a powerful experience that our text paints. And what powerful promises that God gave to Abraham. He says to him, get out of your country, away from your kindred, and away from your father's house. Some of you know that's a pretty radical change. That's a pretty radical change. But God says, it's not all going to be for naught. I will bless thee. I will make of you a great nation, and I will make your name great, and I will bless those that bless you or partner with you, and I will curse those that curse you, and I will, amen, I will cause you to bless all of the families of the earth. This morning, wrapped up in those three verses, there are three things for us, I believe, to consider. Three observations that I want to talk about this morning that allowed Abraham to step into the perfect will of God for his life. And I believe if we follow those same three steps, that those three steps will cause us, amen, to walk into the destiny and the will that God has for each one of us. So observation number one, the first observation that I want you to notice is that Abraham stepped out on the word of God. Abraham stepped out on the word of God. God spoke, but Abraham had to do the stepping. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham put his trust in the Lord. Abraham trusted that God would do what he said he would do. So I want you to understand this morning that the first step for you and I to be taking in finding the perfect will of God for our life, the first step into stepping in to God's will is that we must put our trust in the Lord. Amen. If God said it, we need to rely upon it. If God said it, then we need to live by it. Some people like to try to line up God's word with the way they want to live. Let me just tell you this morning, that ain't going to jive. Amen. We don't line up the word of God with the way we want to live. We line up, amen, with the word of God and live the way that it tells us to live. We need to trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and verse number 6. The wisest man that ever walked on the earth other than Jesus wrote these words in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, not might, not could, not should, but he shall direct your path. Let me just tell you something this morning. When you take God at his word and you trust in the word of the Lord and not just, amen, mentally assent to it, but you begin to live like you believe it and act like you believe it and begin to rest in it, amen, God will shake heaven and earth to see to it that his word comes about in your life. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, this is what God says. God said, I will watch over my word to perform it. I will watch over my word to perform it. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19 that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said it and shall he not do it? Have he spoken it and shall he not make it good? The Bible said that heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus said, my word will not pass away. Brother, I'm here to tell you this morning, if God said it, you can hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Trust in the Lord. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 23 says these words, the steps of a good man, a good woman, are ordered of the Lord. Psalms 23, 32 and verse number 8, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Amen. Now, let me just tell you something. You got to be close to somebody in order to understand their facial expression and be led by their eye. My wife and I celebrate 35 years together. Well, 35 years of marriage. We've actually been together like 37, something like that. And she can just look at me, and I know what she's thinking. And I know. She can just, I have told people in the past, though, we have a signs and wonders ministry. Sometimes she makes signs, and I wonder, what in the world is she talking about? But there are times she just looks at me and goes, and I know exactly what she's saying. That's what God is saying. I will guide you with my eye. Our relationship will be so close that when I look at you, you look at me, you won't have to wonder which way to go, which way to turn. You'll know where I want you to go. You'll know where I want you to step, and you'll be led by the hand of the living God. Isaiah chapter 30 in verse number 21, the Bible says, and this is God speaking through the prophet, and thine ears shall hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand. How many of you remember that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Don't tell me you can't hear the voice of God. Don't tell me that God is not speaking if we'll just pay attention and have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. God wants to lead us and God wants to guide us into his perfect will, but we have to be willing to step out and trust his word and then walk in it. Hallelujah. The first step into walking into God's perfect will for our life is trusting in the Lord. Abraham had to put his trust in God. He had to step out on the word of God. He had to step out on the word of God. And when he did, when he obeyed and he stepped out on God's word, God fulfilled his end of the bargain. God speaks to Abraham. Look at this in verse, that first verse, the first part of that first verse. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, the Lord had said unto Abram, Abraham had to believe what God had said. The Lord said, God spoke to Abraham and he was willing to obey. Did God speak to him in an audible voice? I don't know. Here, let me share something with you this morning. When God called Moses, he did speak to Moses in a very audible voice. Let me give you a scripture that shows you that. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible said, and when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Exodus 19 and 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. Amen. Yes, there are times that God speaks to us in a very audible way. But when God spoke to Abraham, understand that the Bible does not make it clear whether or not that God spoke to him audibly or God spoke to him inwardly. In fact, I would submit to you this morning that there is a good chance that God did not speak to him audibly because, amen, there are times that God speaks into our life in an audible fashion, but more times than not, that's not the case. There have been times in my life that I have audibly heard the voice of God. Literally, audibly heard the voice of God. When God called me to preach, I had been fasting. I had went on a 30-day fast seeking the Lord, asking God, because I felt something down on the inside of me that God was saying, I want you to preach my word. And I didn't feel like I was worthy of preaching the word of God. And I had went on a 30-day fast. And about day 21 of that fast, I was in my bedroom alone praying, and I could see myself. It was a vision that I knew was a God thing and not a Gary thing. But I could see myself standing before this imminent light coming off of the throne. I knew I was in the presence of God. It was as if I was watching it on the screen behind me. I could see myself standing here, and there was this beautiful, glorious light coming off of the throne and onto me. And right down at the bottom of my feet, a fire began to flame up. And I watched, and I'm watching this unfold, and pretty soon the fire, I wasn't hurt, I wasn't harmed. I watched this fire burn up my ankles, my knees, my waist, and then pretty soon it was just a pillar of fire shooting 35, 40 feet above my head. And I'm looking at it in awe because I knew it was a God thing. And I said, but God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I see it, but I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. And God spoke to me just as plain as I am speaking to you. And he said, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 7, I make my angel spirits and my ministers a flame of fire. Now you get up and you go and I'll preach through you. But that's not always the case. God does not always speak in an audible voice. God often speaks, more often than not. God often speaks in impressions, an inclination, an intuition, a leading, not of your flesh, not of your natural ear, but your spiritual ear. Down on the inside, God is always speaking. Amen. God is often speaking in impressions or an influence, in an influencing way, an indelible imprint that can only be explained as an inner knowing. No doubt you have heard people say, God spoke to my heart. Really, what they are saying is God spoke to me somewhere down in the recesses of my spirit. I knew it was God. I knew it was God. So understand that there are moments that God could indeed audibly speak, but there are more often than not times that God will speak to us in a heartfelt impression, in a still, small voice. Amen. He can speak to us as we hear a sermon being preached. He can speak to us when we're listening to worship music. He can speak to us as we read his word. Amen. Our trouble is that sometimes we are just not listening for his voice. But if we will listen, God will speak. And the truth that I want you to see this morning is that when he speaks, we must step. When he speaks, we must follow. When he speaks, we must trust. When he speaks, we need to step out in faith, believing, and take that step toward the perfect will of God. I assure you this morning that God has some good things in store for all of us in 2018. But if we are ever going to walk in it, we're going to have to obey the word of the Lord. We're going to have to put our trust in the Master, and we're going to have to begin to walk, amen, according to that word. But when we do, I come to tell you this morning that God will bring you into his perfect will. When we hear his voice, this is the moment where talk needs to be followed by walk. Amen. It's one thing to say, I believe the Lord. It's another thing to act like you believe the Lord. Hello? When we hear his voice, this is the moment that our next step declares, I believe the report of the Lord. When we hear his voice, this is the moment that faith requires action. You hear what I'm saying? Faith without actions are dead. Hello? Faith without works are dead. Faith without actions. Faith without deeds. Amen. Having a faith in something and then not obeying it is not true faith. Amen. If you really, God forbid, but if you really believe this house was on fire, you would get up and do something about it, would you not? Well, don't tell me that you have faith that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then all you can do is walk around and talk about, amen, what you don't have and what you don't got. Brother, if you believe that God will supply your needs, then begin to trust it, begin to act like it, and begin to walk in it. When we hear him speak, this is the moment when the next step determines if we are going to walk into where God is leading us. This is the moment when heroes of the faith are made. When we hear the voice of God, that is the moment where the Davids of this world slay the Goliaths of this life. When we hear his voice, amen, the next thing that we do will declare, amen, let every man be a liar, but let God's word be true. I come to tell someone this morning that the first step into walking into the perfect plan and the perfect will of God is stepping out on his word and putting your trust in the hand of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Well, it may not look like it's a good idea to step out there. Everything in the natural screams, no. Have you ever faced that? Let me share a story with you. Do you remember when Peter and the disciples were out on the lake, and there was a great storm that arose, and Jesus came walking to them on the water. And when they saw him, the scripture says that they were afraid. They thought they had seen a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Be not afraid, it is I." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come. Go ahead." Peter didn't turn around and ask the other guys, "You think this is a good idea? Let's take a vote on this." No. Peter just simply stepped out and started walking on water. And there's some folks that like to point out, yeah, but he began to sink. It's true. He began to sink when he got his eyes on the storm. But I'm pretty impressed with the fact that he got out of the boat. Right? And he's the only other guy recorded in history that ever walked on water besides Jesus. You got to trust in the word of the Lord. Trust that God will do what he said he will do. Trust that the Lord has your best interest at heart. He wants to lead you. He said, "I would above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Let it happen to me, Lord." How many of you want that in your life? Then go get it. It's his promise. Step out on the promise. When the devil comes against you, tell the devil, "You have no right to be here. I am a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God, and I belong to him." Well, I can't whip the devil. It ain't your battle. It's not your fight. When my boys were little, man, somebody come up against them, daddy would get all kinds of upset. That's because they ain't gonna mess with my babies, right? Well, my father is not gonna let the enemy mess with you. Your father is not gonna let the enemy mess with you. The first step to walking into the perfect will of God is learning how to trust his word. Stand on the word of God. The second observation that I want to bring to you this morning. The second observation about stepping into the perfect will of God that we need to understand is that gain often precedes loss. Think about that for a moment. Gain often precedes loss. Let me put it another way. Gain often comes after we let go of something. Gain often comes when we learn to release and let go. Look at this verse. Verse number one, get out of thy country, away from thy kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Did you catch it? God said, get up, get out. You mean I have to leave my home? Get up, get out. Get away from your kinfolks. Get away from your father's house. I need you to step away from some things in order to bring you into some things. I need you to turn loose of some things in order for me to bring you into something that I have in mind for you. And let me just tell you right now, that's a hard lesson to learn. That's a hard lesson to learn. We have a tendency to want to hang on. We have a tendency to want to hang on. Hello? God said, get up, get out, get away from. Get away from everything you know. Turn loose of it. Let it go. Because I am going to do something in your life that's going to rattle your cage and bless the whole world. And if you'll just be willing to release it, I'm going to bring you out to bring you into. Understand this morning that when you begin to walk into the will of God, not everybody's going to go with you. There's some good friends that ain't going to go with you. Hello? There's some folks that you counted on that you ain't going to be able to count on anymore. There's some things that you've been holding on to that you're going to have to let go of. I have found out that the very thing that we are holding on to often is the very thing that is holding us back. And we need to learn to release some things in order to walk into some things. I will use my own life as an example. I was an evangelist for about almost 22 years on the evangelistic field, and I loved it. I loved it. I traveled all over the United States, from the southern border to the northern border, from the far east over there all the way to the west coast. I traveled all over the country preaching the gospel, and I loved it. 2005, something began to stir in my spirit. Something down on the inside. I didn't get a phone call from Bill. But something began to stir in my spirit. I was restless down on the inside, and I knew that something wasn't quite right. I called my wife. It was the month of May. I called my wife, and I said, you need to pray for me. Something ain't right. I am just wore out. And she said, are you not resting well? I said, oh, no, I'm sleeping fine. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. I am just... Something inside of me is just done. I'm just feeling like there's something happening on the inside. Something ain't quite right. Pray for me. I could take you this morning to the very hotel room in Marysville, California. I was preaching a revival for Word of Life Church in Marysville. And that afternoon, as I was praying and seeking the Lord for the service that night, God began to speak to my spirit, and God began to speak to my heart, and God said to me, "You are not always going to do what you are currently doing. I'm going to change your ministry, and you are no longer going to evangelize, but I am going to call you to be a shepherd. I am going to call you to pastor, and I am going to put you in a church and establish you as a shepherd." I had no idea that it would take about 7 years for it to come to pass. And little did I know that there was going to be some things that I had to turn loose of. And little did I understand that there weren't some folks that were going to come with me. But I stepped out in faith and believed God. And brother, I'm telling you, God has done exactly what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Sometimes gain precedes loss. You got to let go of some stuff in order to walk into some stuff. You can't walk into the new until you get rid of some of the old. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Some of you are on the edge of a breakthrough, but you haven't broken through yet because you ain't let go yet. When you let go, God will walk you into. Listen, he never takes you out unless he's going to bring you in. He never takes you out of something unless he's about to bring you into something. Now, you may spend about 7 years in the hallway. Hello? Toughest part of my life was just waiting on the Lord to do what he said he was going to do, and I knew he had said it. I knew he had said it. When I wanted to jump and run and go do something else, God said, no. You just wait right here. You ain't going nowhere, son. I got you right where I want you. But it don't look like it. Hello? It don't feel like it. But oh, I look back and I know that God was in the whole thing. Let me just share this with you this morning. Amen. When you release what you've been hanging on to, God can bring you into what he intends for you to come into. Stepping into the perfect will of God in 2018 is going to require release. 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 Let go. Forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before, press toward the mark, let go. You can't run forward if you're looking backward. Hello? The third thing that God showed me here in this setting of scripture, the third observation about stepping into the perfect will of God, the third thing is stand on the promise regardless of the problems. Stand on the promise regardless of the problems. Now, if you know the story of Abraham, you know the story tells us that Abraham got his stuff together, said goodbye to his kinfolks, and headed out for a land that he didn't know exactly where he was going, but he was obeying God. And do you know what the first thing he ran into was? You can read it in Genesis. A famine of all things. God, you sent me into a famine? Excuse me. Do you remember when God said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, let the children of Israel go"? Do you know what the first thing they ran into? The Red Sea. And here comes Pharaoh's army, dead set on wiping them out. Dead set on, What I'm saying this morning is you have to stand on the promise regardless of the problem. You have to stand on the promise regardless of the problem. Look what God says to Abraham. I will make of you, verse 2 and verse 3, I will make of you a great nation. Now, to a man that doesn't even have any children, that's a pretty big deal. Right? For a man that has no posterity, no children, for God to say, I'm going to make of you a great nation. All right, I'm your Huckleberry. Let's do it. And he says, and I will bless thee and make your name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth you. And in you shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. There's six promises wrapped up in those two little scriptures. Promise number one, God promised direction and revelation. God said, I will show you. I will show you. The second promise is the promise of multiplication. God says, I will make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you increase. The third promise is a promise for heavenly favor. I will tell you right now, I would rather have the favor of God than a fat bank account. Hello? Amen. God gave him the promise of heavenly favor. God said, I will bless you. Now, let me just tell you something this morning. When you are blessed of the Lord, my license plate on my pickup says blessed. My wife's license plate says blessed. And that don't mean that we have a whole bunch of money in the bank. It means that we are blessed and favored of God. We are his children. We are his child. Amen. And whatever we have need of, God is our supply. He is our abundance. I may not have a fat bank account, but I got a God that knows how to put meal in the barrel and oil in the cruise, and he knows how to meet the need whenever I have one. And that gives me peace, and that gives me joy, and that gives me, amen, a comfort and a rest that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. The fourth promise, he promises him that he will have an influential life. God says, I will make your name great, and I will be, and you will be a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing? God says to Abraham, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. The fifth promise that he tells him is that he says, I'm going to give you a sphere of favor with people. I'm going to give you an atmosphere, a sphere. I'm going to give you a surrounding of favor with people. God says to him, I will bless those that bless you. Amen. And then God says, and I'm going to give you protection. That's sixth promise. He says, I'm going to give you protection from opposition. And God says, I will curse those that curse you. Those that stand in opposition against you, they will have to deal with me. Amen. This morning, I don't know if you have stopped to think about it, but all of the things that Abraham encountered as he stepped out and began to obey God. The first thing that he runs into is famine. And there are moments when his life is in peril, but through it all, God kept him. There are moments along the journey when these promises were being fulfilled. Amen. That there was an occasion as Abraham journeyed and waiting for that promise to come. There were times that he missed it, times that he messed up. There were times that Abraham lied. Slept with his handmaid. There were times when Abraham blew it, but he continued to seek God. And God continued to lead him in the right path. Hello? I'm here to tell you this morning that when we step out in faith, it does not exempt us from problems. So do not look at the problem and forget the promise. Let me give you a biblical example. Mark chapter 4, and we talked about this a moment ago, but Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through verse 41. Jesus says to the disciples, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, the Bible said they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were other ships with them. And listen, they are going at the command of the Lord. They are sailing across the lake because Jesus told them to do so. And there arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. What I want you to see is that just because they were obedient and stepped out and trusted the word of the Lord did not exempt them from trouble. In fact, these guys got into trouble because they were doing exactly what he said to do. Hello? I'll give you another example. Paul, in the book of Acts, Paul has a dream in the night. And he sees a man from Macedonia, and the man from Macedonia says, come and help us. And the Bible said that Paul said, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. They got to Macedonia. They cast the demonic spirit out of a young girl and got in trouble with the authorities. The authorities grabbed them, put them in prison, beat them, stripped them of their clothes and wounded them and locked them in the inner prison. And all they were doing was exactly what God told them to do. So don't think for a moment that just because you step out and believe God and begin to walk into 2018, amen, trusting the Lord and standing on the word of God, amen, letting go of some things you need. Don't think for a moment that you're not going to have some trouble. You are. But here's the good news. You just keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. And it will eventually get you out of trouble. Jesus got him out of trouble on the lake when he said, peace, be still. Paul and Silas was sitting in the jail, blood running down their back. But at midnight, they just kept right on praising and singing and worshiping the Lord. And God got them out of trouble. The Bible said that God sent an earthquake and it shook the jailhouse where they were. And the Bible said the chains fell off, the doors on the prison opened, and they walked out free. What I'm saying is just keep right on doing what you know that you should be doing. And if it gets you in trouble, it'll eventually get you out of trouble. Hallelujah. Let me close this morning. Wrap it up with this summary. I read a statement here a few weeks ago. The gentleman's name was Eddie Lawrence. Eddie Lawrence wrote these words, and I thought it went well with my message this morning. When God's divine ability meets your human availability, you will begin to see that there is no impossibilities. Now, that just sounds like a bunch of words that rhyme, but hold on. When God's divine ability meets your availability, you will begin to see that there are no impossibilities. God is just looking for a vessel. The Almighty God, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, is just looking for a willing vessel that will say, I believe the Lord. I trust the Lord. This morning, are you willing to step out on the word of God? Are you willing to leave behind some things that you need to leave behind in order to be brought into the perfect will of God? For most of us, it will not mean a geographical shift or a geographical change, but it does. It will require a change of the heart. It will require a change of the heart. Will we trust God for his faithfulness? Again, think about the potential of the new year, the possibilities if we will just allow God to lead us and guide us into his perfect plan. I, for one, say, yes, Lord, lead me in that way. Bow your heads all over the building this morning, please. Bow your heads. Sweet Jesus, we are so grateful this morning, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity that you've given us to share your word. I'm thankful this morning, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit that I have sensed and that I have felt. I ask, Lord, that you would embed the word that's been spoken into the hearts of these, your people here in this house, those that will listen by way of the internet. Speak to us. Give us that desire to step into 2018. Into your perfect plan, your perfect will, willing to trust and willing to stand on your word and willing to release some things that have been holding us back and willing to not focus on the problem but focus on the promise that your divine ability may meet our availability and work some impossibilities in our life out. Speak to us now, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning? And you would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I desire God's perfect will for my life in 2018. I desire, yes, hands are being lifted all over the building. I desire God's perfect plan for my life in 2018. I realize that means I'm going to have to be obedient to God. I realize I'm going to have to be obedient to God's word and to God's revelation of his word in my life. I realize I'm going to have to walk in the light as he is in the light. I realize that there's some things I'm going to have to let go of so that I can walk into. Maybe old habits, old friends, old situations, old circumstance. I realize there's some things I'm going to have to walk away from in order to walk into. And I'm willing. I realize I'm going to face some problems, but that doesn't negate the promise. I'm going to hold on to the promise of God. I'm going to stand on the promise of God's word. Hands have been lifted all over the building. Stand to your feet. Let me pray with you, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you see our hearts. You see our desire for a brighter future, a better way in 2018. We desire not just natural blessings, but oh God, we desire spiritual enhancement. We desire a closer walk with you. Lord, help us to understand that we have to stand on your word. We have to stand on your word. Trust in your name. Every individual that's lifted their hand this morning and said, I want your perfect will, I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you will lead them and guide them into that perfect way. You have made it clear to us this morning that you will lead, but we must step. You will lead, but we must follow. Lord, help us to surrender and follow you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen, amen. Go ahead and sing. Go ahead.